Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, for the Word of God that just spoken words into the atmosphere as we receive it into our minds can completely change our outlook and our dispensation, our disposition on how we view things, how things are received, how so much is put out there, and how we must learn how to cut through all the garbage of this world, this noise pollution, and to be able to receive the engrafted word, which is able to change our thinking and how it tells us just how much you love us. Amazing love letters from God to our personal hearts speak to us this morning. We love you and we praise you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. You know, the content of a believer's mind will determine the content that's within our soul. Whatever we receive through the mind processes in the soul of man. And we formulate decisions based on these thoughts, which makes it so important that we, and this is why we have Bible college. And Thursday we did three or four hours of it. But the more content, the more we get saturated with this content, the more our lives start to be changed to the image of Christ. It's a simple process. What we don't understand is that there's an evil force doing the exact same thing from the other side, even with a bigger barrage of its content, for us to think on those things that are not of God and to dwell upon them, to say, hey, here is a problem, here is an issue, you need to pay attention to this, it affects your lives. Or can we learn to cast that down and know where it's coming from, know what side of the kingdom it's come from, to have this discernment in our lives and to learn to just walk with what God directs us in every portion. Are you in Isaiah?
Yes.
Okay. Let's stand for the word of God, those that can. Isaiah 26, just one verse with me today. Verse 3, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Let's read it again. Everybody on this. Everybody read this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusts in thee. Lord, just again, touch these words to us. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Yeah. Oswald Chambers said, Christianity is not the work that we do, but the relationships we maintain. Christianity is not a work that we do, but the relationships we are able to maintain and keep. Today I'm going to talk about relationships. And a lot of these relationships can be used in personal relationships, one-on-one relationships, husband and wife relationships, work relationships, family relationships, friendships, but more important, our relationship to God, because that's really all that matters here. You have this relationship with God, everything else is a little bit easier. Those other relationships fall in place, so to speak. So, And listen how this is being said too. You know, there are achievements and there are plans that we have in our lives. There are goals that we even set. And achievements are fine. To have different achievements are good. But a lot of times, achievements, we are looking for even a reward, even a pat on the back in that reward. And what these achievements do, it causes us to live in high expectations. And if you fail in those expectations, then you can have guilt and sorrow and shame. And it allows us to detach ourselves. Because we take that failure of that expectation personally. And it shouldn't be. Goals are good. Goals are set. But don't live beyond that expectation. Because the results can be damaging to our souls. It's all about relationships. Sometimes these expectations that are received draw us away from relationships. There are many people that in the work field that have goal after goal after goal, and they start setting these goals. But the more they see these expectations fulfilled, the farther they get away from their family. And the farther they get away from even God. So these goals are good until it starts affecting our relationships. And we got to be very careful with that. Because the world today will push to have these high expectations and to go after your dreams and go after your goals and set them high and set the bar as high as you can and go after it with all you have and get all you can. And things are suffering in that process. And the biggest thing that suffers is our relationship with God. And we've always said in this church, if there's anything that takes you away from your Bible and or the church, get another job. It's not worth it. In the long run, it will take its toll on your soul. Because there's nothing coming in. And God is always there. God is always there. He's always available. It's in Deuteronomy 30, 14. It says, the word of God is near to you. The word of God is so near. It's always right there. But we separate ourselves. We remove away from it. It's that relationship that if you get in a fight with a spouse or a friend or whatever, what do you do right away? Stop talking to each other. You're severaging that relationship. They have hurt me. You don't understand what they said to me. And we stop talking. We stop communicating. And this is what the world and the system wants to do within the world, is to stop your talking and your communication with God. So it makes this such an importance on our relationship. And to always think of it that way. This is between me and God. Everything. How does God feel? What does God say about this? What is God telling me in this area? But the word is always near. It's always right there. It's always there for us. In Romans chapter in Romans chapter 10, Paul uses this exact same this same saying that the word of God is near. And by the way, in Deuteronomy it says this. It says even the sea can be so far away, you know, that it can be beyond the sea, but God is still there. It can be, there's nothing that can get between you and God's word at any time. That word is always just right there for us. And we need to be settled on every word. We need to function with every word. We need to live by every word. We need to fellowship with every word of God. That word, we need to know that whatever I'm going through, whatever situation I'm in, God's word is right there. It's right there for you. It's always available. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing, no matter where your mind is in the situation, God's word is a present help in time of need. It's right there. It's available at the drop of Lord help. It's there. It's always right there. Whatever you're experiencing, whatever deep pit you're in, the word of God is there to deliver you and to raise you up and to set your feet on a solid foundation. It's always there. And we must know this, and we must have this. And this is why intake becomes the key to all of our Christian walk. Is we must have a constant intake of the word. We cannot live on yesterday's message. We cannot live on yesterday's manna. It's old. It's already old. It was good at the time. It was good in the moment. It encouraged me in that time. It gave me comfort. It gave me hope. It gave me faith. But you need it now. You need it this morning. You need it today. We need it at every time. And the word of God is so near. There's nothing that God wants to do but to deliver his word personally to you. So when Paul uses this in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 6, and I just want to read a couple of these here. And there's so much into this too. It even talks about that Jesus Christ is the end of the law to righteousness to everyone that believes. Go through Romans 10 and look how many times it talks about the word just to believe. Just to believe. You know, before we can get understanding, we need to believe. There is no understanding that can come into our minds. We can't understand the things of God unless we first learn to just have simple faith and believe. Okay? Believe means, this is a believing with content. Believing with a thing where it gets me not to, you know, because the Bible even says the demons believe, but they tremble. So it just means a full trust in what God is going to do in my situation. This is why the word of God is near unto you. It becomes personal. It's speaking to your heart. It's speaking to my heart that God wants a personal relationship with you. Beyond relationships of one another even. And that comes too with it. But we must develop this relationship with God. In verse 6 he says, but the righteous, which is of faith, speaketh on the wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to say, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to say, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? It doesn't say those things. But what does it say? It says, the word of God is near thee, even to your mouth, that in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And then in 9, that if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou will be saved. Salvation is of God, and it comes from confession, and it comes from a heart change. It comes from confession and a heart change. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Now look at this. This is good. So here's this whole thing of what's going on. And it talks about that. Who shall ascend and bring Christ down? And this is what we try to do. We try to bring God down to us in a relationship with us. But that makes God common. And God is not common. God is reverent. He should be worshipped. He is holy God. He is not a common God. This is the exact same thing that Babel did. Let us build a tower up to God. If God's not coming down here, let me go up to him. Let me bring God down even with me. And that is familiarity. That's being familiar with who God is. And we don't reverence him as holy. But this building, this tower, is a picture of works. And I believe by my works I can reach God. And it is impossible. It's only by grace we can reach God. It is a gift to you. You don't deserve it. You cannot earn it. And you can't merit it. We don't build up to God to bring God down. God sent his son willfully down to us to die, to walk in the plan that God gave him, that we may be saved. Shall we ascend up to bring God down? And we think that in our arrogance, but that's not relationship with God. That's not a relationship. That is a full-blown work system. That's saying, I can do this. I can accomplish this. And God scattered them. God scattered that. He rejected that. And it sounds, wow, it's good. People want to come up and see. No, that's not how God is going to be received. He's going to be received only through his son. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his grace alone. These are demands. I put demands upon God. Relationships can never be built in demands, even personal. We don't demand things from our spouses or our friends. We don't put demands upon them, because if they fail in that demand, I have now just pushed them down and the relationship gets severed. Because of my personal demands, which are evil and they're wicked. To put a demand upon a person is evil. And it's works. And churches do it to conform their people. You must do this. You must pray more. You must fast. You must. And all these demands come upon people. And the burdens are too heavy. And this is what the Pharisees did. Jesus says, you are the teachers of the law, but you're not. You're not unloading that burden at all. You're putting on the burden. You're making it more difficult for people to have a relationship with God. Because it's all about the relationship. And this is called relationship detachments. Relationship detachments. You can even have emotional detachments. In our minds and in our thinking, we can become detached from people. We can be detached from God. Oh, God, let me just do this. Bless it, though. I want you to bless this in my life, but I'm just going to go over and do this first. And then I'll come back later with my offering to you. That's not a relationship. That's an emotional detachment. That's a relationship detachment, and they're dangerous. They're so dangerous. They're not good in our personal relationships, and they're not good with God. So God just wants to enter into relationships. And thank God, he's not demanding. Because it was all put upon Christ. Everything was put upon Christ. That we now get to receive the relationship. So he just says, come. What an invitation. You know, Christianity, I know churches put demands upon people, but true Christianity, apart from religion, just says to come. Cast all your cares upon him. Just come. He doesn't tell you to change yourself. He doesn't ask you to clean up your act. Get this right in your life first. Stop doing that. None of that is brought to the table. It's just come. And it sounds like a simple thing. But I think more people want that upon them, because then they feel like they're doing something for God. They feel pleased with how their relationship was with God. And the relationship with God can only be with Christ. That becomes your relationship. Relationship detachment. Emotional detachment. It's pulling away. It's a removal. It's being detached. And it's like a car. And on the end, we're hauling a trailer, and the car has an attachment that it's like a round ball that you can put that trailer upon. And the only thing that it's keeping in there is a little pin. The pin is holding the attachment together. And as we detach, it's like we're just pulling the pin. And things are separated. Things become easily, quickly separated. Because Satan is saying, be attached to the world. Mm. Be attached to this system. Galatians 5. 19 through 21 talks about worldly attachments that are always in our ways, always there. And we become, and as we're attached to the world and the world system, we become detached from God, because God cannot look upon that. And it says in Isaiah 59, it says, your sin has separated you from your God, or your attachments have separated you from God. The word there for sin is the word in the Hebrew. It's iniquity. It's iniquity. Iniquity is sin of the mind. In our minds, our thoughts are detached from God. We're not thinking with God. And how can we have this perfect peace? How can we have this perfect peace if our minds are not upon God, but they're on the world, and they're on the world system, and the things of this world? But we are to leave that. It says, instead of being detached to the world, we are to pursue the things of God. We are to be separated unto Him. 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, come out from among them. Come out from among that system. And it says, don't touch anything as you come out. It'll make you unclean. You know, a lot of these things, it says, well, I'm following Christ. Oh, but I still need this with me. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need to take. And we start adding things. And are we really detached from it? And that's exactly what Israel did with Jericho. They did what God said. It crumbled to the ground. They destroyed all things. But then they started taking things. Oh, we need this. Well, this is important. You know, I got to have that. You know, and there are things that we need to have that we become attached to. We become attached to. Little things, small things, sacred things, God calls it. He even calls it idol worship. Anything that's more valuable than God. I came up with 7 things that the world wants us to, that things from the world detach us from God. And these things come into our lives, but they hurt in our relationships. And some of these, again, can be personal, but they are for God. So what worldly things do is they remove us from concentration. It's very hard for us to concentrate. Our capacity is small to focus and to concentrate on things of God. God has to open up a capacity that we are hearing from Him. So it removes our capacity. Heard that on speed reading. You ever speed read? You know, you're not getting all of it, but you're supposed to pull out some points. But that's not a capacity. That's like flying through things without paying attention to what is God speaking to my heart about. So, capacity. Number 2, it removes us from meditation. Meditation is just getting alone with God and asking him to open and reveal what is this about to us? How does this strengthen my walk with you, Lord? How does this word apply to my life? And in Joshua, he says, day and night, I will meditate on your word. Psalm 1, to meditate on the things of God. It means to chew it over, to go over it, to get it in. To get it in that it just doesn't become words on a page, that it becomes living words, active. And then these words come into my heart and now I live them. I'm just not hearing it. It's not just a story. It's not just a fable. This is to live by every word of God. So meditation, it removes communication, as we talked about earlier. If worldly things come into my life, I'm noticing I'm not now communicating with God. I'm going to him less and less instead of praying without ceasing. Instead of going to God with everything, I'm figuring things out for myself. It's hurting my communication. What happens to a husband and wife that stop communicating? You know, it just drives that they start to separate. It all, there's the division that's between them, and now it divides. It's a dividing force. It distances my fellowship. Number four, it distances my fellowship. It distances my fellowship with God. And it distances my fellowship with one another, the body. There's no body life. We must communicate with each other. Communicate about the things of God. It's okay to call each other, to talk. Hey, how's your day going? What's God showing you? What's he doing in your life? You know, this is just opening communication. It's body life. It's the reason why we have raps after, to talk about the word and to talk about what we do. These attachments to the word, to the world, removes me from my prayer life. I'm praying less. Yeah, it's, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. There's no communication there. And prayer is two ways. It's not just us praying to God for others and for ourselves. But it's also God speaking to me. A relationship communicates both ways. And if I'm distracted or detached in the world of the world system, my ears become closed. He could be speaking, I'm just not hearing. So my prayer life suffers. My covering gets removed. You know, there is a covering with God and his people, with the body of Christ. God has a covering for us. And we come out from amongst that because we're walking by ourselves. This is why it's just dangerous when people say, oh, I believe in God, but I don't come to church. Something's wrong in that relationship. Because the Bible clearly says he can speak to you personally, and he does, but he also speaks to you through the church. It's the reason why Christ says, I will build my church. Christ doesn't come and build his church for no purpose and no reason. We're not solo Christianity. You could be saved, but you're not going to be growing. And when troubles come and situations come and details of life come, you're going to be overwhelmed in them. There's no covering for the body. What was that, six? Mm-hmm. Number seven. It makes me familiar as I'm stepping into the world and stepping into the world system, and I'm attached to the world, detached from God. I start to become familiar with body members. I become familiar with his word. Everything is just familiar. It's just a familiar. Oh, I heard that verse. Oh, I heard that saying, and nothing touches my heart no more. Nothing's touching my heart. I'm drifting. I'm drifting away, and it's very dangerous for the believer. It's so dangerous for the believer. So let's go back here. Turn back to Isaiah. Let me finish with this. You guys with me?
Yes.
Okay, check this out.
thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. A mind must be stayed upon thee. And the results of that is this perfect peace. So the peace here is rendering right thinking. A mind that is stayed upon me is a mind that's thinking right. And the results are this perfect peace. And the world wants peace. The world wants peace. But this is a perfect peace. This is even a peace in Philippians 4:7. This is a peace that passes my understanding even. How do we have a peace that passes my... I love people that try to give a definition of that. What that means. Do you read? It says it passes my understanding. It means I don't have a definition. I just know that I'm in God's will with it, and I'm fellowshipping with it, and it goes beyond, and it fills me with this amazing peace of God that I can't comprehend. Not as the world gives peace, not this false peace, a peace that comes within me for believing and trusting in God. But I want you. This is so important. Because the mind, whatever comes into the mind will cripple you. Because we can think and dwell upon things that are not peaceful. But if the mind is set upon God, then he's going to give you a mind that gives the peace of God. And a settledness and whatever's going on. You know, a lot of us can have a great mindset when things are going great. And we can enjoy Christianity and things are amazing. And boy, the message was amazing. But have a little trouble in your life and do you have the same mindset? Is your mind at peace in the trouble? In the difficult situation, can you still have this mind that is stayed upon him? Is your mind stayed upon him or is your mind drifting? Is your mind now focused on everything that's coming my way? But you don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't talk about that. It says keep your mind stayed on him. That's where the peace is at. The peace of the storm is where a mind is focused on God and is stayed there. We have to learn to keep our minds stayed upon God. Now, let me read you the content of this. Okay, and where this is going and why this verse just sticks out. Because Satan's whole focus is to capture your mind. And if he has your mind, you will quit. You will give up. You will retreat. You will say Christianity don't work. Every problem becomes a complaint. Every complaint becomes an issue. And every issue is this major bomb going off around you. It's like a nuke was just dropped in your backyard. And you're the effects of it. You know, you're walking around all staggering and all beat up. You know, and listen, this verse is here to show that we can have this mind. We can have the mind of Christ in Philippians 2:5. This is a possible thing. This is not an impossible. This isn't being tossed to and fro with everything that's coming your way. One day you're on top of the world and the next day is, oh, woe is me. Christianity, please Jesus, come back now. Get me out of here. I mean, it's a wrong mindset. When Christ comes back, he'll come back. Don't worry about it. And if you're saved, you'll go with him. So don't worry about it. So now we have this work. We have a plan of God. So stop worrying about going home and start getting to work. Because there's such an amazing work to do in North Miami Beach. And remember, it's not the work. It's the relationships we maintain. There's a lot of hurting people out here, folks. A lot. That need to hear the message of God. Okay, look at this now. So Isaiah 26,
Go back to verse 1. And I'm not going to go through a lot of this. We don't need to. I think the message is in the relationship. I think the message is in the mind of Christ. You know, Pastor Shabelli said that in Haiti, and it makes sense. We want to paint this picture. We want to read 19 verses before you think people can get the picture. And he says, people can read. Get the verse and get to the point. Get to the verse and get to the point and let God speak to the people. And he will. And trust them to go back and read. But check this out. Look at this. In verse 1, it says, In that day, and he's talking about Israel as a nation, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nations which keep the truth enter in. And then thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Many scholars believe that these cities, even though there is in the millennium a new city, a new Jerusalem that is going to be built for believers, and all nations are welcome to come in. So there is that spiritual sense meaning with also a physical implication of this. But also these actual cities can be our minds. Now, here it is. It says, we have a strong city. We have a strong mind. We can have a strong mind. So when your mind is fixed upon him, your mind starts to become strong. And everything that starts coming against it that's from the enemy, negative forces, negative speaking, insults, negativity, lies, everything that we entertain and hold on to, things spoken against you that aren't true, gossip, all that garbage that we get to hear on a daily basis, which is from the world system, we don't have to dwell upon that. Because we can have a strong mind. We can have a strong city with God's appointed walls. Strong walls. And walls in the Bible, in Proverbs 24, 1 and 2, speaks of doctrine. Walls that are being built speak of the Word of God. And every time we hear a message and we mix faith with what we hear, walls are being built in our souls and in our minds and in our thoughts. So when the enemy comes, you're not sitting there unprepared. You have the Word of God in your mind. And you can combat that enemy with a verse, with a word, with something we heard. Because your walls are fortified. They are strong walls. They are powerful walls. And they come by hearing the Word of God. And they're built within us. And it's a strong, strong city. It's a city. It's a city whose maker is God. It's a city that God has invested within you. That has put the Word within your heart and within your mind. And now we meditate on that Word. And we meditate on it day and night. We take this Word and we make it personal. Hey, this Word is about me. This is speaking of me. I can have the mind of Christ. I don't need to be thinking about things that are not of God. Think on things above. Think on these things. Train our mind. Train our thinking to be a strong city. And strong walls, strong walls. Now, turn back just to show you the difference. Turn to Isaiah 24. Here's the person that wants to think on worldly things, who wants to allow troubles and situations overrule their thinking. Because your thought pattern is your choice. We have a choice to listen to God's word. We have a choice to keep hearing messages over and over, songs over and over, hymns over and over. And we practice this. We take hearing the Bible seriously. We don't want just a church that everybody just sits in the pews and listen. If the Word of God does not motivate us by love to go out into the streets and share what you've heard, your Christianity is flat. You could be being detached. It's a detachment. Because I truly believe as the Word of God gets in you, love is the motivation that puts love in force. It's active. Our Christianity is not passive. Even your studying should never be passive. We don't study just to know. What is that? You might as well go to school. You know, just stay in school, be a full-time student. If the words aren't active, then your faith is in vain. It's emptiness. And this isn't condemning. This is conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't just want to fill seats. We want to allow God to use us to be a vessel of honor, to encourage those who could be going through the same thing you're going through. You know, but it starts with the right mind. It starts with a mind that is not detached, that is just so close. So look at Isaiah 24:10. Here's another city. Here's another mind. It's called the city of confusion. The city of confusion is broken down, and every house is shut up, and no man may come in. And then it talks about the streets and everything else, but look at that city. You ever have confusion in your mind? And by the way, confusion is from the enemy. Confusion is never from God. Any thought of confusion, and we don't know what's going, it's from the enemy. God is not the author of confusion, but of a sound mind. We can have soundness in our thinking. And here's another amazing thing. You can think with Jesus Christ. That's what Philippians 2, have the mind of Christ, to think with him. And what was his mind thinking? To serve, always to be serving one another. So this is a mind, this is a city that has confusion all running through it. And when your mind is confused, you can't even make a choice. You can't even make a decision. I mean, even to have the thought, oh, should I go to church today or not? I mean, if you're wavering on that, you need to come. We need to have Bible studies in your home. We got to keep on coming to Bible college. You got to be coming Sunday. Come Saturday, I'll spend more time. I mean, we need intake of the Word of God. Yeah. That's the only thing that changes. We do not conform to issues outside of God's Word. Which means if somebody says, oh, you should be doing this. You should be praying. No, that's religion. Religion tells you what to do. Christ motivates you by love. And maybe you're not ready to go yet. Maybe you need to be sitting for a while. And that's fine too. But pray to God that he opens up avenues. Lord, let me share my faith today. Let me just share what you have deposited within me. Because it's like a cup. If I fill this cup with water, sooner or later it's going to what? And that's what we want. We want God's love to overflow. That's all it is. So impartation is receiving, and pouring out is the results of what comes in. That's it. So here's a city that is confused. It's broken down. It's broken. Nothing's working. Yeah. You know, some of us with our health might feel that way. Yeah. I'm feeling broken down. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling weak. All of that can be quickened also by the Word. He can quicken you. The word quicken in the Greek means make me alive. Yeah. You know, people who are unsaved, they're alive, but they're dead. Yeah. according to the Bible. Physically, they're alive. Biologically, they're alive. Spiritually, they're dead. And I'd rather have my spirit alive spiritually. So he says, the house is shut up. It means there's no reason even to come in. There's no reason even to come into the house. Because everything is shut up and everything's confusion. You're going to come in and you're going to be confused. Just by coming into the house, confusion is the atmosphere. It's the atmosphere that settles down upon our thinking. And the only thing we can think is confused thoughts. This is what this house is. It's all broken down. And nobody can come in. It's not even welcome. Is the church welcoming? Are we welcoming visitors? Is it a place where they want to come in here? And we always say this, come seven times and watch God speak to you. Just keep coming, keep coming, keep hearing. Be detached and attached to God. Last verse, 25:2. Isaiah 25:2. Look at this city. Here's another city. This one, thou was made a city and a heap. This is just a heap of whatever you want to heap that. Whatever you want to call that heap. Want to call it dung? Want to call it whatever. You get it. It's just a heap of mess, and it's a heap, and you don't want to walk through that heap. It's not a good place to walk through. But, I mean, it's in ruin. It's a city that's in ruin. And this is a mind that has been captured by Satan and Satan's thoughts. Remember, Satan is the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And his main purpose is to blind the mind so people can't think. That's his only purpose. If Satan can blind your mind, you don't have to do anything else. Doesn't have to do anything else. Your flesh will do the rest. Your flesh is another enemy. He'll use you if he controls your mind in a bunch of heap. We must think with God. This is why it's so important to think with God, because thinking with God is a spiritual attachment to the living God. It's how we hear. Our relationship becomes restored as we think upon him. So here's another place in ruin. And there is even no city here. And the last verse in that says, there's no even need to build no more. Stop building. Stop building in it. Because it's already ruined. You cannot build upon ruin. This is why we're a new creation. This is why the flesh is crucified with Christ. And we are a new creation. It's a brand new building. It's a brand new structure. He can't deal with the old. It's already in ruin. Our sin and our thoughts have put us in ruin. But the good news is today is the day of salvation. And he wants to build a new city within you. And he wants to give you a new mind. And we can have the mind of Christ. And with the mind of Christ, our relationships and our attachments are never going to be emotional. They're going to be with God. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love. We just love you, Lord. Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, or somebody here that even can be confused in their thoughts and their ways, Lord, you have promised and you will give us a new mind, a mind that is set upon thee. What an amazing mindset. And the promise of that is you will keep us in this amazing, perfect thought pattern and peace of God. Because our mind is staying upon you. And we trust you, Lord. We trust you for all these things. If there's somebody who has never accepted Christ, we read in Romans 10, verse 8 and 9, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, that you will be saved. It's a promise. If you've accepted Christ before, you don't have to do it again. Christ saves you to the fullest. He saves you to the uttermost, Hebrews 7:25. It's one time. He seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise in Ephesians 1:13. These are all promises that God gives the believer. So with nobody looking around, it's just between you and God. If you want to accept Christ in your heart, just lift up your hand real quick and then put it down. Let me pray for you. Accept Christ. Receive salvation. It is free. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Any others? Any more? Accept Jesus Christ. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's a free gift. Any more? Thank you, God. Put your hand up. Put it down. God loves you. And if any of us are having situations of doubt, unbelief, insecurity, confusion, that's all from the enemy. God wants to give you a new mind. A new mind, new thoughts, new patterns of thinking. Lord, just touch your people, Lord. Open up our hearts and our minds to you. And we just thank you for your love. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the people. Lord, create within us doers of the word and not just hearers only. And that happens by having the mind of Christ. Bless the offering, our giving, all that you're doing. Pray for Broward tonight. And we just love you in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
So the rap will start in about 10, 15 minutes. Coney dogs.
Hot dogs with chili.
We got all the Floridians.
Oh,
Detroit. Well, those